In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our gospel reading, Luke, the third chapter. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, every second Sunday of Advent, we look at preparation for Christmas by St. John the Baptist. And this time, we look at it from St. Luke's gospel. St. John the Baptist reminds us that preparing for Christmas is more than stringing lights, decorating yards, baking treats, and buying and wrapping presents. Today, St. Luke uses John the Baptist to remind us what getting ready for Christmas is all about. Preparing to meet the King, whom we saw last week riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey. We get that reading twice, that Palm Sunday reading. Riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, preparing for his death. To die for the sins of the whole world. Being prepared to receive him means more than knowing this. It means more than knowing that Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. Being prepared for Christmas. St. John reminds us that in order to receive him, we must not just know him. We must know ourselves rightly. That is, see yourself and myself for who we truly are. That is where John the Baptist comes in. John traveled throughout the region of the Jordan preaching repentance, a baptism of repentance, saying, "You brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not even begin for 1 minute to say to yourselves that we have Abraham as our father, for God can raise up from these stones children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is already at the root of the tree, and whatever root tree does not bear fruit, it is cut down and thrown into the fire." With these words, John accused the people of God, calling them to see themselves rightly, not as a people who followed God blamelessly and uprightly, but those who were sinners. Those who could never enter into the kingdom of God because of their sin. John would have us remember that heaven is not earned by climbing a ladder of good works, but solely by confessing your sins and clinging to Jesus. See your sins, the mountains, the hills, the valleys, all the deep places, the vast amount of your sins, and confess those sins. Turn from what you are doing here and now. Repent, John cries, because only then are you prepared to see Jesus, our King, coming to you. The season of Advent is a call to repentance. It calls us, if you will, to come to terms quickly with our accuser. Before you get dragged into the court and stand before the righteous judge, and the righteous judge throw you into prison. That is, before you are cast into the outer darkness, before the righteous judge says to you, "I tell you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into the fire prepared for the devils and his angels." Advent gives us a time of preparation to come to terms with our accuser and the list of accusations and offenses against our God, that we may not be cast into the fires of hell. What are those accusations? Well, that's what St. John the Baptist gave to every person individually as they came to him. If you came to him and you had two tunics, and you said, "What must we do?" John gave you the list of accusation. Stop being selfish. Stop being self-centered. Do not neglect your neighbor's bodily needs. Share with them. If you're a tax collector, the list of accusation looks like this. Don't collect any more than you're given to. Knock off the extortion. Stop stealing. If it was a soldier, the accusations went like this. Don't extort money by force. Knock it off. Don't covet people's stuff. Don't steal from them. Be content with your wages. Be content with what God has given you. That's the list of accusations and what the people must do in repentance, the fruits of repentance. That's their list of accusations. You interested in hearing the list laid by the Word of God against me? Against you? Stop being consumed with trusting and caring more about your money and your possessions and your family and your friends and your acquaintances and your reputation and your status than you care for God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Trust in Him alone, and all that stuff will be added to you. Quit texting. Quit saying, OMG, oh my God, or Jesus Christ, when you stub your toe or things like that. Stop using the name of God frivolously, as though it means nothing. And do not curse and do not swear. Do not use God's name in any sense of the word other than to call upon it to pray, praise, and give thanks. Pray, praise, and give thanks when you lie down, when you stand up, when you sit at your dinner tables, and when you walk along the road. Always. Do not skip church for anything. Farming, ranching, sports, music, the lake, extra sleep, or whatever else you think is more important or I think is more important. Come to church every week, and when you're in those pews, sit up straight. Pay attention. Sing the hymns. Gladly hear and learn what God has given you. Make it the delight of your days, because that's what actually sanctifies your day and makes it holy. Quit belittling. Quit making fun of and laughing at and speaking ill of those whom God has placed in authority. You know, as St. Paul says, there's no authority given except the authority that God has established. And that even includes the government. Parents, pastors, grandparents, teachers, boss, president, governing officials, speak well of them. Give honor to whom honor is due. Do not injure people with hitting, with biting, with kicking, with insulting, by neglecting to feed or clothe your neighbor. Show compassion to your fellow human being. The one whom God created and the one whom God redeemed by His own blood. Help and support them in every physical need. Do not have premarital sex. Do not have an extramarital affair. Do not live together before marriage. Do not be confused about your gender. God has given you to be a male or a female, and that's it. No confusion to be had on that. No. Husband and wife, honor each other. Love one another. Lead the sexually pure and decent life. Exercise modesty and self-control. Stop being lazy at work or in the home or out there in the world. Quit wasting the time that God has given you on frivolous junk. Redeem the time. Use it to love God and serve your neighbor as God has loved and served you. Don't cheat on tests or copy music or download stuff off the internet because of YouTube and the different things that you can rip, movies, music, software. Just treat everybody's property with respect. Help and preserve your neighbor's possessions and income. Quit gossiping, lying, slandering, speaking ill, or putting on a show, some false flattery like, and then mocking people when they're absent. Don't be fake. Don't be phony. Think of your neighbor's reputation first. Defend them. Speak well of them. Explain everything in a kindest way. And by that I mean, love covers a multitude of sins. Let your ear become a grave, and do not let your mouth open that grave to spit forth the lies of death. Explain everything in the kindest way. Put the best construction on your neighbor's actions. Stop longing for and desiring and coveting what God has given other people. Spouse, job, clothes, car, health, wealth, food, the amount of people in your homes or communities or church pews. Quit whining and complaining about what God gives us to do every day to work. Don't be stingy. Don't be self-indulgent. Don't be self-absorbed. Open your eyes and see what God's given you as blessings. Be content with that. Be content with what you have. The Word of God does not let anyone standing up here in a pulpit or sitting in the pew wiggle. The Word of God is inexorable and unbendable. And what St. John would have you see and me is this. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Do you see your sin? Do you know your sin? Do you lament that sin and grieve your sin? Do you confess your sin before God this day? Notice the posture. It wasn't just your voice that gave rise to "I, a poor, miserable sinner." You and I knelt before God. Well, you didn't really kneel, you sat, right? Why? Because Pastor's merciful. We don't have kneelers, and I don't want you to wear out your knees. So I give you the way out of simply sitting there. But if we had kneelers, you would join me. Your whole body, your whole confession, a life of repentance. I, a poor, miserable sinner. If that is your confession, then make no mistake about it. You are prepared to meet your King who comes to you in glory. The King whom you and I are not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. If St. John the Baptist can't untie his sandals and you and I can't, what are we going to do? Well, if we can't stoop down to untie those sandals, the good news is God actually stoops down to you. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Jesus left his Father's side and took on human flesh in the form of a servant, was born like us to bear our sin and be our Savior. Conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, this Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. Because God does not desire your death. God does not desire the death of a sinner, but that you and I would come in repentance and faith and live. Why would you die, O Israel? Turn and live, Isaiah says. God so loved the world then that he gave his only Son. He sent his Son to you, that you who believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life. The very sins in your that reign in your mortal body, the very sins that reign in my mortal body, that is what the Lord laid upon this Christ. God made this Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might stand in the righteousness of God, that we may not die, but we shall live. Out of love for you and I, Jesus became a curse on the cross. For it is written, cursed is the one who hangs on the tree. The spit, the fists, the whips, the thorns, the nails, all of it. The full punishment, even the abandonment of the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? This Lord, this Messiah, this Christ endured so that you and I would never have to. Even praying all the while, not curses from heaven, but please, from an intercession on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The Father answered the Son's prayer by raising him from the dead. The Son has come in your midst to bind up your broken hearts, to heal your wounds, and to declare the favor of God, the year of our Lord, upon you. For if you confess your sins, God, who is faithful and just, forgives your sins. And so, as far as the east is from the west, so has your sin been removed from you this day. All the things that you were thinking about in those list of accusations, and those that you couldn't even remember, God has looked upon you in his Christ this day and said, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There is no wrath. There is no condemnation or judgment for you who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ has died. Christ is risen, and you now stand forgiven. The judge's verdict for you who believe in him shall be as follows. Not guilty. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. There is nothing, not angels, not demons, not height, not depth, not things present, nor things in the future, not even your sin and death that can snatch you, that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. For he has said to you, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and I will raise them up on the last day. That is what he promised you in his holy word. Yeah, Christmas is coming. Today, John the Baptist gives us the preparations necessary. He sets before our eyes our sin that we might know more clearly the one who comes to save us from that sin, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master. Today, you are more prepared than you might think for Christmas. Today, the words of Advent ring joyously upon our lips. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly to forgive my sins anew, as you have countless Sundays before. Come quickly to save me. To him be glory forever. Amen.